Welcome to the FPL Experiment Podcast, the I Told You So episode. I can feel it coming. I know it's coming. Some big news as well at the start. And we will discuss all the usual stuff. Game week picks, differentials, transfers, and the all-important captain as well. Let's do it. Let's make some plans for game week 13. Lads, the big announcement at the start of the podcast, something that hasn't happened for a very long time, a big green arrow jumping 200k. And whilst I'm sure there are things we need to discuss in this podcast, I think we should just take a moment to celebrate that 200k jump.
Do you know what? I didn't even know we'd done that. That's incredible.
I thought we'd gone down again.
That's amazing. Good work, lads.
Inside the top million. Wow. So if we do that every week for the next 5 weeks... We'd be world number one, yeah. Good maths, Nick. Good maths.
Excellent. Let's just carry on doing that then, shall we?
Yeah.
Is that the plan?
So the thing is, I do have an apology to make, because if we'd gone with Nick's move, which was to go with Regulon, we would have been 5 points better off. If we'd gone with Greg's move, which would be keeping Rudiger and getting James in, we'd be 12 points better off. Instead, Cancelo came in for Rudiger. We didn't bring in James. Before we go anywhere with the podcast, lads, do we need to have a family meeting?
Not for me. My conscience is clean. However, I feel like Greg's always got an I told you so on the tip of his tongue.
Oh, loves
he's always
it.
There.
Absolutely loves it. Yeah.
But he's one of those people that says, I don't like to say it, but I'm going to say it. So go on. Get it out of your system.
No, I'm liking saying it this week. I was so annoyed on, was it Saturday morning? And I was trying to be polite to both of you, but I was livid. And I was just like, you know what? Have your fun. I'm done. See you later. And then I couldn't ignore you, though. So I was going to try and be silent and go all like moody with you, but I just couldn't do it. I'm not that way inclined.
What your move, like James got the same number of points as Cancelo. You weren't clucking for a move to James because you really wanted to keep Rudiger. That's just a byproduct. You wanted James.
Lies. Right? Lies. I wanted to keep Rudiger because Rudiger's a less of a rotation risk than Christensen. And therefore, that's why you keep Rudiger. You get James. Everyone's happy. Unless it's me and we don't pick him and I'm not happy. Look, we had a green arrow. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm fine.
It's more fun owning Cancelo anyway. That assist was delicious, wasn't it? Ooh. I've never seen anything like it.
I don't want to go back to it, but how good were Chelsea? Like, those shifting triangles are naughty. You can't keep up with that.
But they took that form into Champions League last night as well and absolutely obliterated Juve. James, again, scored an absolute whopper. They're just very, very, very good at the moment.
Do you think Lukaku coming back for them? I was thinking this yesterday. Does that create a problem? Because they've almost been better with Havertz and not having Lukaku.
I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't think we had a long enough stretch of games with Lukaku to really understand his team and mates and those around him. I think it's harsh to say that he would make them worse, but you've got to say that the way they're playing right now, I don't think he should automatically just be plonked back in because he's fit.
So to that question, Alan, it's quite an interesting question because... would Lukaku playing in Havertz's role mean that James and Chilwell don't get into as many attacking positions? I don't think it does, right? And that's the main thing that we're seeing at the moment, that James and Chilwell are delivering a ridiculous volume of points. But I think if Lukaku was popped in that side, I think if anything, they would probably finish more of those balls that James and Chilwell put in. So maybe it would just make them even more interesting, I think, as FPL assets. It's Chilwell Crocs, though.
Yeah, looks like he's got an injury, yeah. Might only be a couple of weeks, though. You don't know.
I love Twitter. Like, Twitter, it, like, he's either out for 2 weeks or the rest of the season. There's literally every week in between that. Like, everyone's got an opinion on it with no sources being cited. It's just ridiculous. But he's definitely out for a few weeks by the looks of it. How long he's out, we don't know yet.
The obvious thing from here for me to do would either be to play some sound clips of Spurs beating Leeds or just to bang on about it. But to be honest with you, it was a bit like when you play a four-year-old at FIFA. You let them have like an early goal and then you just go, oh, there you go, mate, and just pop two past them. And then you give them a little pat on the head. And so, to be honest with you, there would be no enjoyment in that in any way whatsoever. So let's just move on to all of our normal stuff about the game week. Goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, attackers, differentials, transfers and captain. In goal, Nick, who are you thinking about in goal?
Alisson and Loris are very good picks this week, but I'm going for our boy Bobby Sanchez. I looked at the stats. Brighton haven't actually been that great this season, but I'm basing this pick purely on the opposition. So they're at home to Leeds this weekend. Greg will admit Leeds haven't been great going forward this season, and they've got a lot of key attacking injuries. And obviously he was suspended last week, but I think this is going to be a low scoring affair. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby got a clean sheet this weekend.
I like Ben Foster just for 1 week and 1 week only, because Leicester, as much as Chelsea were brilliant, were terrible against Chelsea. And he's so cheap. So as a bench option, he's absolutely cracking. I like him. Maybe we're going to have a bit of a duel, Nick. Who are we going to go for? Ooh, Sanchez.
I love that. Just for one week, one romantic, amorous weekend away. One night in Foster.
I'll keep that just in case he ever comes on the podcast one day. He's been on a few FPL podcasts. He might fancy it with us. Maybe not now. Greg?
I found goalkeepers a difficult one at the moment, because I don't think any goalkeeper's got a concerted good run of games other than Alisson. And I don't really think it's worth talking about Alisson on the podcast, because you're going to have three Liverpool players elsewhere. So I've still kind of kept with Gaeta from Crystal Palace, 4.6 million. They're at home to Villa. And I know it might sound a little bit ridiculous given the fact they just shipped three goals to a pretty average Burnley team, but there were two set pieces and they were very good set piece goals they scored, and an absolute whopper, a real humdinger of a volley from Cornet, or however you want to say it. So I'm still
Cornetto, obviously that's how we want to
say it. Let's call him Cornet. Let's call him little Cornetto. I can't get away from their defensive numbers. That they're still so good if you take away that Burnley game in isolation. So I don't actually think Villa are all that. They weren't actually that great against Brighton. And they had a little flurry in the last sort of 10 minutes of that game, which got them the two goals. So I actually think the swashbuckling, free-flowing Crystal Palace will do them and do them royally.
In defence, this is a pick which actually isn't for this game week, which is bizarre. I don't think it works for this game week. But you know, sometimes you transfer a player in knowing that you're going to come back to them in a couple of weeks, and they're just like bench fodder that you stick there. Jamal Lascelles, 4.4 million at Newcastle. Wouldn't play in this week because they've got Arsenal. His heading stats and chances in the area last couple of game weeks have been outrageously good. He then plays Burnley and Norwich after Arsenal, who are in the bottom three, or the top three, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way, for headed chances conceded. So he might just be one to sort of come off your bench or just slip in there when you need him.
I like the way you've just spotted a pattern and just forgotten about what week it is. Just get him in now, just for a few weeks.
Well, look, mate, this week, obviously, I'd have Trent and I'd have James and I'd have Cancelo, like every other FPL player. I mean, have you got someone else? Because
I've got Trent, I think. So the thing is, Trent's pretty obvious, right? He's a prolific FPL defender in terms of the points that he gets.
Double prolific, yeah.
On a weekly basis. Like, that's not rocket science. But I think there are still people who got rid of Trent and didn't replace him when he got injured. And I think I just wanted to make the point that if you don't have Trent, you have to get him, because he's just alluring to himself.
I don't think anyone's ever kicked a microphone on the podcast before. What was that all about? That little karate leg over the mic?
Like some sort of like basic instinct move. I wonder what we were going to get.
It did not make me feel like that.
Down
it,
the camera. That,
I will just let everybody know it was not like that in any way. The way you look at Greg is very different
pants
to the way I do.
My little legs were uncomfortable, so I was trying to move, but there isn't much room here to move. And then I was trying to, you know, when you're trying to be really careful not to hit something, and then you just hit it. So yeah, that's what happened. I've gone somewhere different than both of you. I've actually gone for Alonso, 5.6 million, 7.5% owned, at home to Man United. And even if it's just for a couple of weeks, I still think it's worth getting him in. We know historically he's been FPL gold, and he's been a bit up and down over the last few years, but I just think you want a bit of those, that Chelsea team right now, and you want those wingers in your team. And I'm not scared by Man United whatsoever. They were pretty poor the other night, despite winning against Villarreal. And Alonso's half decent. I mean, Tuchel started him in 14 games. And in those 14 games, he's got like 3 goals and 2 assists. So not amazing returns when you're trying to compare him to get like Chilwell and James of recent form. But when you stack up his per 90 stats against James and Chilwell, he's not too far away. So shots in the box, he's there or thereabouts. Chances created, he's actually got more than Chilwell. He's fewer than James. But touches in the final third, he's a little bit behind them. Expected goals, he's pretty much on par with James. I just think for the next few weeks, as a little bit of a safety net, I'd get him in. And it's a nice price point as well. He's only 5.6 million. He's not going to bust your bank and put out the sort of the structure of your squad.
In midfield, there are two players that have had increased attacking roles over the last two games. And they are from teams that we quite often try and identify because they've got the potential to score big scores. So Sadio Mane, in the absence of Roberto Firmino, his XG and his expected goal involvement, incredible in the last couple of game weeks. Joint top for big chances, shots in the box. And his fixtures are Southampton, Everton, Wolves, Villa, Newcastle.
I feel like Liverpool have not had a hard game yet this season. They just seem to keep getting easy games. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, even against Chelsea, Reece James got sent off. But those fixtures are so good for, you know, they're playing really porous defences over that break. You could go Salah and Mane instead of, whilst everybody else is clucking for Kane and Spurs look absolutely abysmal, you could have like a really big point of difference and go for Mane in there. I mean, it worked for us at the end of last season, so why not have that little double up? The other one, who is kind of very similar, is Bernardo Silva, in that Grealish and KDB are out and he has seen a change in fortune. So in his last five, he's had 4 returns. He's a top 4 midfielder for expected goals and expected goal involvement in his last 2. And his fixtures between now and the new year, which I won't read off because it will be boring, but they are incredible. It's like 10 games where each and every fixture is great. Now, obviously, KDB and Grealish could come back into that side and that might potentially affect the way that he plays. So those last 2 game weeks have definitely accelerated that. But even before then, he was a top 10 midfielder. And he is 9% owned, which is what I really like. Sadio Mane, 4.6% owned.
Wow. I think the thing with Bernardo is, and there was an element of this with Gundogan last season, it took a while before people really truly believed that he wasn't a defensive midfielder. And I think Bernardo, I mean, we were having this kind of discussion, or the start, at least the start of a discussion of Silva versus Foden. And I'll always just go with the player who consistently plays further up the pitch. And I always just worry that Bernardo will, you know, as you say, KDB, Grealish come back in and he drops back and he's sitting with Rodri. But I can see the attraction for sure. Like those numbers you just spat out there are pretty impressive.
The thing is, I think he's a bit like a Raul Jimenez this season in that he just ticks along. He's not going to do anything spectacular, but sometimes you just need those consistent performers in your team and it does give you a bit more budget. Foden, probably we'll talk a bit about later. I don't know what's going on there. The last couple of game weeks hasn't really done anything. But again, that coincides with KDB and Grealish having their injuries. So perhaps there's a bit of a shift there. Who are you liking in midfield, Nick?
I'm going for a chap that I went for a couple of weeks ago. I'm going for Trossard for Brighton at home for Leeds. Have you heard of him? Decent player. Greg might not be happy about this because I know he's spoken about how solid Leeds are at the back. But I mean, they did just concede 2 to Spurs. So I do think that there is an opportunity there for Brighton to get back on track. He is their key attacking threat right now. And he's got the stats to back it up. So over the last 4, he has the second highest expected goal involvement amongst midfielders, behind only Salah. And he's also got the 3rd highest shots on goal during that period. So he's obviously a threat and he's a crafty little player. I just like those sorts of players in my FPL team.
Crafty little toe rag. His numbers are superb, like absolutely ridiculous. I was looking at Trossard as well. I just think it's because he plays in a Brighton team. He doesn't seem that appealing sometimes. But
can I just stick up for Leeds a little bit at the moment? Like, you two have both like savaged us. You do realise you're having a dig at Leeds in one game in isolation where we were decimated with injuries. No Rafinha, no
Mate, Bamford, can I just recite to you your words about Brentford? And apparently that was irrelevant for Brentford, but it is relevant for Leeds.
And you're 17th.
No, but we've got way more injuries than Brentford.
And you definitely don't end up in 17th after losing one game. Oh, he's silent. He's stumped.
I know, it's like Greg,
how are you feeling about midfielders?
I've jumped on the Liverpool bandwagon. I can't ignore those fixtures, and I still can't believe that Jota's only 14% owned. I think that attacking triumvirate, that they're so seductive, really. That run of games is fantastic, and there's no point us going on about all their sort of XG touches in the box, that sort of, because everyone knows that it's just off the charts and they're doing really well. So I think this week it's quite good to look at who they're facing. That Southampton team at the moment, they're such a Jekyll and Hyde team, but I think that we know, given the last few seasons with Hasenhüttl, that they can go on these 3, 4, 5 games losing streaks and it not be anything out of the norm for Southampton. I think we're potentially on the start of that little slide now. I mean, let's be honest, no one should really be losing to Norwich in the Premier League. That was a poor, poor result. And they've had 2 losses and a draw in the last 5. I just see Liverpool tearing them apart. And Jota, off the back of a fantastic goal, really good goal at the weekend. And if it wasn't for a stupendous save from Ramsdale to deny him a second, he could have had a really good double-digit haul. So I'm going Jota this week as my midfield pick. And he's also been rested tonight as well. So hopefully that bodes well for the weekend.
Yeah, and I think the really good news is he's on the bench as well. Because I think lots of people were saying, is he going to be injured? Foden is a weird one, not even in the team tonight.
They said at the start of commentary on the Man City match against PSG that actually he's got a knock. So, and that's what Pep said, didn't he? Press conference before starting him at the weekend. I take that as a positive. I'm viewing that, look, let's give him a whole game off this week. Let's get him back at the weekend.
I mean, he played a good 60 minutes, didn't he, at the weekend? So if the knock was that bad, he wouldn't have even got on the pitch. So
we aggravated it, maybe.
Maybe. I think you're probably both right, though. I think it's a good thing that he's not even benched and he'll come back. But definitely got to wait to Friday.
Up front, I think there are strikers that we could potentially pick again. For weeks, maybe it felt like that wasn't the case. Nice for Ivan Toney to get in the mix for us. He's got Everton, Leeds and Watford in 3 of his next 4. All 3 of those are in the bottom 8 for teams for expected goals conceded in the last 2 game weeks. So he looks like a good pick. Plus the other game is against Spurs. And I'm not raving about Spurs at the back. So I think Toney could quite easily come through against those. I'm quite happy that we've got him against Everton. Any more for any more up front?
I might think that I haven't actually done any research this week because I've chose 2 picks that I actually chose last week. But I can't ignore Benjamin Benteke. You can't deny what he's doing at the moment. 6.3 million. He's still only 2.2% owned, again, at home to Aston Villa. But 2 goals last week, all 3 bonus points, 12 points in total. He's got 29 points now in his last 5 game weeks. So he's averaging, 5.8 points a game at the moment. He's playing his old team as well. And I always like it when like a striker plays his old team because I feel like they want to do that. There's an extra bit of motivation to score a goal. And he scored against them in their 3-2 win in May last season as well. So for me, all roads are leading to Benteke.
You call him Benjamin?
I did. I literally just thought I was going to call him Chris Benjamin Benteke again, but he's not Benjamin Benteke. It's Christian Benteke.
I prefer Benjamin.
I don't even know where that came from. My notes, I'm looking at my notes in front of me. It says Christian, but I've read it as Benjamin.
I think it's a great pick, Greg. And I don't think we've ever shouted him out on the pod before. I mean, granted, it's probably only happened.
Yeah, we did last season.
No. I don't think we've ever done it and he's not delivered. So I think maybe it's happened a couple of times before and he always does well. So it's a good omen for him. I've gone with Jimenez. I know it's not the most creative pick, but they're away to Norwich. And Wolves have been quietly going about their business. They're up into 6th. That kind of passed me by a little bit. And he scored last week. Norwich are already in a position where they've kind of got to get results. And they might leave a few more gaps at the back. I think he could be a really kind of sure thing for this week to get in amongst the goals.
I love the Jimenez pick. The only reason I didn't go there is I just wouldn't want to advocate getting Jimenez in when they've got a really smelly, really difficult run of fixtures coming up from December. It's their run's really, really bad.
Is it? Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, all in the space of like 7 game weeks.
Yeah, but for those 2 game weeks, that's what everybody's been doing, isn't it? Trying to identify the worst teams in the league. And then, yeah, then you could easily jump off. Let's have a conversation about differentials. Greg Shaw.
I've been looking forward to this. Differential of the week.
Differentials are £8 million or fewer for us, and 5% or fewer teams own them. The best differential of the week, do you know who it was?
Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Greg chose the best differential, 12 points.
Oh my God. Wow. When I was watching the games, I was like, did Greg pick Benteke? And I gradually got more furious as I realised that he definitely did.
Do you know what? Wilson, who you went for, Nick, was so unlucky not to score. Had a couple of really good chances in that game, but he just got you 1 point. Bowen got me 2. Benteke got Greg 12. Greg's at the top with 67. I've got 52. Nick's got 35.
Oh.
Nick, who's your differential for the week?
Do you know what? I toyed with Spurs for a while just because of the fixture, and I was all set for Moura. But then when I started looking at those Trossard numbers, I just got to go back for him. He's the only man who's done anything for me in about 2 years. So I'm going back in. Trossard, 6.5 million, 3.1%. Go again, big boy.
Come on, we surely aren't allowing a repeat pick in the space of like a 5 week period.
Well,
three weeks.
Do you know what? It feels a bit dirty, but at the same time, I'm about to throw some absolute muck in here. And
all right.
I had 2 choices to make. So I'm fine with what you've just now, Nick. Lovely. Really nice. So I couldn't decide who to go for. And whatever decision I was going to make was going to be pure and utter, as I said, muck. So I've gone for really, really mucky. And I'm going to go for Benteke at home. 2.2% owned, playing against his old Villa team, and also the player that Greg chose last week. So that's why it feels like absolute filth.
That's really wrong.
No, I like it.
You've just gone for Trossard, mate. You only picked him a week or two ago.
You're filth, mate. You need to get in the bath.
I've gone for Gundogan, 7.2 million, 2.8% at home to West Ham. I think over the last few weeks, he's looked a lot more attacking. He's actually just hit the post against PSG tonight. I'm hoping that he's going to continue my rise. Well, not my rise, just me stretching my lead at the top of our differential league again.
We're all so grubby, aren't we? Oh. A player from the Champions, previous picks. Do you know what, though? Because of our criteria, it is quite tough. Because I was thinking, oh, I'd love to go Mane, or I'd love to go Silva or something. But, you mean, you can't go for those. Transfers. Let's have a talk about transfers for our team. I forgot to do this at the start because, well, I just did. And so this is our team as it stands at the moment. I'm actually on our team and I'm really just having to quickly read, yet discard the transfers that I've taken in my pocket. Yes, please. Dangerous. Right. So as it stands, we've got Sanchez in goal, although we could pick Foster and, you know, just have one lovely weekend with Ben Foster. We've got
Foster.
Ben White, Alexander-Arnold, Cancelo across the back. Foden, Salah, Rafinha, Jota, Gallagher in midfield, Tony and Kane up front, Christensen, as it stands, is on the bench. So last time out, just so you know, we got 71 points. Salah did the business, as he always does. Jota, Gallagher, Cancelo, Trent, Ben Foster, Ivan Tony, they all chipped in. So that was nice. Lovely little week. I was actually just going to shout out somebody from our league, which is a bit of a step back and something that we don't normally do because I've just completely thrown the format out here. There are 2 that have done really well so far this month. Jason Lee Noodles.
What?
Who has 93 points this game week and is right up there as the third place person in the FPL Experiment League for November. And Kinder and Buemo, really good. But both of those teams, I think, are worth looking at. So if you go to November, look at their points. They've both got really nice teams, but I think they'll continue to be nice teams as well. And they've both shot up about 800K over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So they've got you know, pretty standard. James Cancelo, Alexander Arnold, but then also Sarr in goal, Jimenez up front, Gallagher as well. So that's the kind of team that I think, you know, because of the couple of fixtures that are coming up, is also going to do quite well. But well done to those guys for doing well in the league. As far as transfers are concerned for our team, I think for me, Foden isn't performing. So, you know, like you see all these people, they've got fancy Christmas lights outside their house, right? And it looks really good. But when you're tucked up in your house, you're not getting the benefit of that. And that's basically it. We've got this really sexy option, but we're not seeing any benefit. And so...
the Christmas tree.
There he is.
I like the analogy, yeah. So you were saying that...
We're a bunch of posers. That's what I'm saying.
So we like to have like a flash name like Foden in our squad, but he's not really doing anything for us.
Switch him off. The thing is, if he's injured as well, then maybe the decision is made for us.
Yeah.
But also what Foden does is unlock some cash. So the options that I threw out were potentially Smith Rowe or Silva. If I'm completely honest, I'm not a massive fan of Smith Rowe other than for this week. I like him as a player, but over the course of the next 10 weeks, Silva's fixtures are brilliant. His stats stack up. We've then got a route into the City team. That also means potentially, and ideally, we can bring in James at the back. And at the minute, I think we still wait until the deadline. That is my number one move that I'm running with, because Foden's stats have just completely fallen off. Silva has just been a consistent performer.
So you're saying Foden and Christensen out and James and Silva in?
Yeah, at the minute, that's my current thinking. Now, I know, Nick, because we kind of spoke about this before, you were thinking no transfer. So keen to hear what you're thinking.
The first thing I'd always do when, you know, when we look at the team for the week is look at the team. And I think looking at the fixtures our team have got, there's a really strong 11 there straight off the bat, provided Foden is fit. I would rather wait to get James until next week after the United game. I know United aren't good, but I still would rather... I don't feel like I want to take a point hit to get him for this week. I could be wrong. I was kind of burnt by him last week in that he delivered again, but I don't think that this is the week that we need to take a hit for a defender. And I like the look of that team. And I take your point on Bernardo Silva. I just feel like it's a bit of a sideways move. Apart, you know, stats aside... I know that's never a good way to start a conversation about FPL, but Bernardo Silva is inherently a defensive midfielder and Foden is playing as an inside forward. So why would we not keep the inside forward? He's going to get into better positions. Like, I don't know, it feels a bit wrong to me to get rid of Foden for Silva.
I think the reason that potentially we might do it this week if we wanted to bring James in, and my thinking was purely because of cash, because... both of those two, Silva and James, are on the rise. So by the time we come around to getting them, we would be stung. As it stands at the minute, Christensen's not really getting into the team all that much. Does he get dropped? And if we've got Ben White, Eddie Howe's teams generally for Newcastle score a lot of goals. So, and I don't trust Arsenal at the back. So that was my thinking. But it mainly comes down to cost and money for me in terms of being able to bring James in.
Point taken. Arsenal have been really solid. I know they just got spanked 4-0. But that was Liverpool. Before that game, they have been really solid at the back. And I think Arsenal at home to Newcastle is a nice fixture.
Greg.
I've been to and froing about this quite a lot this week and over the weekend about what to do with our team. And obviously, I spat my dummy out at the weekend. I wanted to rip a whole squad apart and have fun and just go nuts and see what happened with our team. And then I've calmed down and I'm looking at the sensible approach. But I really like the... Christensen and folding out to James and Bernardo Silva in. And just to add a little bit about the sort of Bernardo Silva stuff, to give us a bit of a fairer context, that Bernardo Silva has actually played 90 minutes his last six game weeks in the Premier League. He's only not played 90 minutes three times this season. I didn't realise how much he'd been playing, and that actually gone under my radar somewhat. He's got 33 points in his last five game weeks. However, and it's worth mentioning this, Big Man Bakar was throwing around a load of stats earlier and he was comparing this season Foden and Bernardo's per 90 stats. So Foden is outperforming Bernardo in every metric that he put down, which was shots in the box, key passes, expected goals and expected goal involvements. Foden's stats were actually a lot better. So it kind of then goes back to Nick's point about this is a sideward step. Are we actually getting much more for that? And I think Foden's ceiling is a lot higher than Bernardo's.
100%.
However, Silva does give us a bit more flexibility elsewhere in our squad. And I think we have to get James in. But then you were talking earlier on about Mane, which got me thinking. We do what Nick suggests this week, which was no subs. We give Harry Kane one last crack of the whip. If he does not do anything, let's go against the template. Let's bring Mane in and let's have some fun in the run-up to Christmas and really attack.
Greg, I've written down as my final note here, fun transfer, Jota and Kane out, Mane and Jimenez in. And we could do that this week if you wanted to.
I love the Mane idea. I love the Jimenez idea. That was what I was trying to do today. I was trying to get Jimenez in. But like you said, the fixtures aren't great. I'd rather go with your plan, Greg, which is give Kane one more week, because I'm not having Kane in. If Kane doesn't score this weekend, I think we have to get him out, just on principle. You can't have that much money sat there doing nothing. So I'd love to use that budget next week, unlock it next week, Mane in. Could be Jimenez, could be someone else, could be Antonio. We don't have Antonio in. And then we could get James for a hit. So, you know, you're covering all bases there. I love that idea.
Mane against Southampton this game week. Just want to put it out there. Against his old team.
Kane versus, who is it?
Who cares? He's been absolute guff in that Spurs team. I've used that word. It's become a word that we use too often. I'll double guff. He's been guff to give it more emphasis.
But Kane does like playing against Burnley.
But he doesn't like playing this season unless he's
football.
Playing
he doesn't like playing football.
No, unless he's playing with decent players for England.
Yeah.
Oh God, that's so sexy, isn't it, Mane? But it feels wrong getting rid of Jota. Jota's so cheap, and But he's scoring a lot. Is he not scoring just as many goals as Mane?
It was delicious though, the little touch. I know it was Tavares was like a bad pass or whatever, but the way he lost the defender and then dummied the keeper was. I was like, I'm so pleased you're in my team just for that move.
Do you know what I really liked he did at the weekend? His through ball header on the side of the team was ridiculous. I don't know how he got that much power on it as well and the accuracy. I was like, oh, that is special.
I think this is the thing. And when we get down to brass tacks, Jota and Mane, in terms of what they're delivering, and I'm not talking about expected goals or expected assists, whatever, I'm pretty sure they're pretty similar. Over the last month, you could probably put their numbers side by side and they would not be that different. Yeah, tell me if I'm wrong.
You're right.
How much is Jota compared to Mane? Like Mane's what, like 11? Jota's like 7 something. I think it would be mad to take a hit this week to do that. But I love the idea of it. It's a bit like your Foden Christmas tree analogy. Having Mane and Salah in our team would look, oh God, that would look so naughty. Mm.
I think my preference right now is actually to wait out this week. Let's bank the transfer. I think the squad's actually quite good this week. I'm mindful of no Chelsea wing back. Really scares the hell out of me. But the potential Christmas tree lights that we could get and really
I didn't know that this analogy was going to get as much airtime. I thought you'd rinse it, but you two are loving it.
A visual one as well that I can really like run with. The only way I would countenance not doing the transfer this week is purely if we properly rip up the template and attack and do something crazy against the grain. I don't want to just save two transfers and then be quite template, because we're not in a position where we can carry that.
Well, I don't think a lot of our team with Jota and Kane and Tony is that template, really. The decision our hand might be forced if Foden does happen to be injured, but it seems as though, based on the conversations, you two are quite aligned in that you don't want to make a move. For me, my move would be bring in James, bring in Silva, that I said initially, but I wouldn't mind looking at the Mane and Jimenez transfer in more detail. It seems like you two are like, look, let's be a bit more sensible.
I don't think it's being sensible. I just think our squad is good for the week. And I think we've got so much money tied up in a few players who aren't performing, like Kane and potentially Foden. Let's give them one more week, one last hurrah. And if they don't do it for us this week, let's just boot them. Get Rico Henry and Reguilón in.
Let's be sensible though, because if we do Mane in next week, we don't really want Jimenez more than one game week, which would be that Burnley game.
So it then, could be
Callum Wilson,
Antonio,
Callum Wilson's fixtures.
Well, Wilson
next week
then gets Norwich and Burnley.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Or actually, it might even be Sam Maximan, who is actually performing slightly better than Wilson. I think.
Or Paddy Bamford might be back for that.
Yeah, I mean that's irrelevant. So as far as captains are concerned, it's obviously going to be Mo, right?
It's quite boring, this segment of the pod.
Do you want to spice it up?
Yeah, let's go somewhere different.
Yeah, let's go Kane. Like, what's the point in going what's the point in going Salah right now?
Because if we hadn't gone Salah for the last 2 months, we'd be about 3 millionth. It is frustrating because it kind of, you want it to be a bit more exciting, but you can't not. It's just ridiculous.
Anyone got anything good for the end of the podcast?
I honestly thought you were going to play my my voice notes, but bleep them out. I mean, I was devastated.
Do you know what? I did say this on text. It was the funniest succession of voice notes I've heard from you, because it was like you were livid, like absolutely seething. And then as soon as Reguilón scored, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, he's actually all right.
Do you know what? I was sat in the pub with our good friend, Carl. As soon as Leeds scored, I said, I can guarantee you Greg will have sent a shit voice note through. So I'm not even going to look at my phone until Spurs score. And then when Spurs got the equaliser, I looked and went predictable. And because I was in the pub, to be honest with you, I didn't even listen to them. So I can play him now if you want.
Yeah, play him.
I don't know if this is going to work.
Oh, Reguilón, get him in the team. Spurs are going to be brilliant. Come on, Leeds. Oh, off, Reguilón. That's bullshit. What a
worker. It made it so much better because it was against Leeds as well.
Everything I was saying on the pod came to light. And I was like, oh, this is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And then he popped up with that horrible rebound.
Do you know, watching that Chelsea game, I was so upset because I was like, I've pushed for something that, you know, maybe I didn't really believe in it myself, but the boys are going to hate me on Wednesday because we've not put James in, we've got rid of Rudiger, all because of something I said. And then when Cancelo got that assist, when he got the full bonus, and when Reguilón scored, I was just, it was more relief than anything. I hadn't completely lost it and I wasn't going to get sacked.
We're not supposed to be competing against each other. That's not the way the game's supposed to work.
No, it's because when it's Greg, I just know how smug he is and I just don't want that. I don't need that.
Thanks for listening to the FPL Experiment podcast. Have a great game week. We'll catch you soon.